trillions upon trillions of tiny marine organisms that most of us have never heard of, foraminiferans and coccoliths and calcareous algae, capture atmospheric carbon in the form of carbon dioxide when it falls as rain and use it, in combination with other things, to make their tiny shells. By locking the carbon up in their shells, they keep it from being re-evaporated into the atmosphere, where it would build up dangerously as a greenhouse gas. Eventually, all the tiny foraminiferans and coccoliths and so on die and fall to the bottom of the sea, where they are compressed into limestone. It is remarkable, when you behold an extraordinary natural feature like the White Cliffs of Dover in England, to reflect that it is made up of nothing but tiny, deceased marine organisms. But even more remarkable when you realize how much carbon they cumulatively sequester. A 6-inch cube of Dover chalk will contain well over 1,000 litres of compressed carbon dioxide that would otherwise be doing us no good at all. Altogether, there is about 20,000 times as much carbon locked away in the Earth's rocks as in the atmosphere. Eventually, much of that limestone will end up feeding volcanoes, and the carbon will return to the atmosphere and fall to the earth in rain, which is why the whole is called the long-term carbon cycle. The process takes a very long time, about 500,000 years for a typical carbon atom, but in the absence of any other disturbance, it works remarkably well at keeping the climate stable. Unfortunately, human beings have a careless predilection for disrupting this cycle by putting lots of extra carbon into the atmosphere, whether the foraminiferans are ready for it or not. Since 1850, it has been estimated, we have lofted about 100 billion tons of extra carbon into the air, a total that increases by about 7 billion tons each year. Overall, that's not actually all that much. Nature, mostly through the belchings of volcanoes and the decay of plants, sends about 200 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere each year, nearly 30 times as much as we do with our cars and factories. But you have only to look at the haze that hangs over our cities to see what a difference our contribution makes. We know from samples of very old ice that the natural level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that is, before we started inflating it with industrial activity, is about 280 parts per million. By 1958, when people in lab coats started to pay attention to it, it had risen to 315 parts per million. Today, it is over 360 parts per million, and rising by roughly 0.25% a year. By the end of the 21st century, it is forecast to rise to about 560 parts per million. So far, the Earth's oceans and forests, which also pack away a lot of carbon, have managed to save us from ourselves. But as Peter Cox of the British Meteorological Office puts it, there is a critical threshold where the natural biosphere stops buffering us from the effects of our emissions and actually starts to amplify them. The fear is that there would be a runaway increase in the Earth's warming. Unable to adapt, many trees and other plants would die, releasing their stores of carbon and adding to the problem. Such cycles have occasionally happened in the distant past, even without a human contribution. The good news is that even here nature is quite wonderful. It is almost certain that eventually the carbon cycle would reassert itself and return the Earth to a situation of stability and happiness. The last time this happened, it took a mere 60,000 years.